Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to see everyone here. We're very thankful for your presence. Appreciate you coming out and joining with us in the singing of songs and focusing on the crucifixion of Christ and the sacrifice that was made on our behalf, and to give some time and attention to the reading and studying of the Word of God. And we encourage you to open up your Bibles and to study along with us to make sure that the things being taught are in fact the truth, and that we might all come to a better understanding of that which the Scriptures teach. As we noted in the previous week, we looked at the fact that the body of Christ is made up of many members. As we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, even as the body is one and it has many members, and all members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. And we saw that while there are many members in this body, that not everyone has the same function. Going back to our reading from last week in Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, we see that just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, we have gifts that differ, and we need to be using these gifts according to the grace that God has given us. And as we can see in our scripture reading today, that every role is necessary for the body to work properly. As we see there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 21 and 22, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And so we can see and better understand the importance of the varying roles that are necessary for the proper working of the body. And with this understanding, we see the challenge that faces the local congregation as it seeks to fulfill its responsibility to build up the saints in the work of, for the work of service. And to do this, there's a need for us to recognize and to make known the fact that there are a number of different ways in which members can serve the body, and to encourage the members to do what they can in fulfilling their part, in playing their role in the work of the local congregation. And a congregation can do this by providing direction and opportunity for those who are willing and prepared to serve, and to help prepare those who need to further grow so that they can fulfill the roles that they have. As we see there, In verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? And that's the thing that we need to understand, is we focus, I'm afraid, too often on a certain limited number of roles and fail to realize that there are a large number of roles that need to be filled, that need to have individuals that are willing to play their part. And the problem is that we focus on these primary roles, and we make sure that they're filled, and then those who are already doing the work in the primary roles, they end up having to fill in all the other gaps, because all these others are, people are either unaware of them or they don't think that it's important enough to be done. But all of these, in one way or another, have to be fulfilled. And so this morning, I want to take our time and look at the roles that maybe you're well aware of, and then also some other roles that you may not be aware of that you can play a part in. And we all have abilities. We all have talents that God has given us. So we've been given a measure of ability by the grace of God, and we are expected to use those talents, and not only use them, but to increase in them, to not remain where we are with them, but to be, as Paul told the church in Corinth, to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. And so this morning, let's begin by looking at really kind of four areas of service that we find in the body of Christ, in the local congregation, and look at some examples of the various roles that members can play, even in each of these basic services. So the first thing we want to look at in these roles to fill is one that's probably the most evident, the one that most people are aware of, because we see these roles being played out on a weekly basis when we come together on the first day of the week. And these are the roles that are needed to be played in the assembly. The assembly during public worship is an area of service in the body of Christ. We're instructed to not forsake our assembling together. If you look in Hebrews chapter 10, in Hebrews chapter 10 in verses 24 and 25, the author of Hebrews writes and shows us clearly the importance of our coming together and the part that really we all play in our coming together in our regular assembly. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, he says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And so here we can see we all have a role to play just in being present. Not only being present, but being there so that we can encourage, we can stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We all play a very important part in that. And when we look to the scriptures, we find that there are certain instructions and commandments that we can only keep in the context of our coming together. We're commanded to observe the Lord's Supper, that as we're gathered together, we're to partake of the Lord's Supper and to be mindful of Christ's death upon the cross. And we're commanded to lay by in store, and this is something that we are to do together. When you look in the first century, we find multiple instances where they were coming together and encouraging one another. And we see in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 that it seems that they were doing this on the first day of the week. And Paul assumes that when he speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, when he talks about when you're coming together, each of you is to lay by in store as he has prospered. And so they were meeting on the first day of the week at least, and then also meeting at other times, it would seem, to read and study. And when we look to the scriptures, we see that our services, the time that we come together for our assemblies, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, in dealing with the use of miraculous gifts in the assembly, he says in verse 26, "Let all things be done for edification." And so when we come together, everything we do, whether it be the singing of songs, the partaking of the Lord's Supper, the giving of our means, preaching and teaching from the Word of God, all of this should be done for edification. And then he goes further in verse 40. He says, "All things must be done properly and in an orderly manner." And so when we come together, there's a need for us to play certain parts, to fill roles that are needed for the assembly to be edifying and for it to be done in a properly and in orderly manner. And so let's just consider some of the roles that we see on a regular basis that are needed in the area of public worship in our assembly. Those that direct, and we see this in the duty roster that we have, the making of announcements, leading singing, leading prayer, reading scriptures, assisting in the Lord's Supper, assisting in the collection, offering invitations or short exhortations, and the preaching of sermons. And we see this on a day in, on a weekly basis. But there's other things that kind of go along with that, that help these things to be as edifying as they need to be, and to make sure that they're done in an orderly fashion. And so in these things, we can see that there's a need for someone, and oftentimes this falls on the shoulders of whoever's doing the announcements, to make sure that everyone's there that is supposed to be doing something that day. And if they're not, to find someone and try to give them the opportunity to prepare themselves so that they can be edifying in what they're doing, and that they can do these things in an orderly fashion. And so there's an additional role that needs to be filled of someone to making sure that all these other roles are filled and taken care of. In many congregations, there's a desire to count the attendance, and so there's someone needed for that. Preparing the communion, taping the service, whether doing it in audio or video, in various congregations it's done in various ways, and these are things that can be helpful in providing the preaching and teaching of the Word of God elsewhere. Opening the building and making sure that it's a comfortable temperature for folks and that everything's okay. And these are all roles that play a part in making sure that our assemblies go as they should. And while we focus on the main ones, those that are leading singing, leading in prayer, we kind of lose the fact that there's a lot of other roles that are just as important. And there's one other aspect of our assembly that I think gets kind of left to the side. It gets forgotten. And that's the role that each and every one of us play when we come together for the assembly. along with those who are in a leading role in the assembly, we all have a role to play in truly participating. You see, this is the problem. Well, I'm not leading the singing, so I can just sit here and kind of let things go. Well, are you edifying your brethren? Are you encouraging your brethren? Are you stimulating them to love and good deeds when you're not participating in the singing of songs? When we're reading from the Word of God and you're sitting there with your Bible closed and you're not really participating, are you stimulating your brethren? When you're looking up at the ceiling and making it seem that you aren't paying attention whatsoever, are you encouraging and edifying the ones who are leading the singing of songs or reading of Scripture? You see, in our regular assembly, there's a need, and it's of great importance that we participate even in the role of just following the lead of others. And so in our roles in assembly, there's a role that literally everyone can play a part, a very important part. And so we need to be looking and seeing what we can do. As men of the congregation, we need to be looking at what abilities we have. And we don't ask, we should not ask of any of our members, our men, to do anything that they don't have an ability to do. But as we have an ability, we need to not only exercise that ability, but we need to strive to increase, never being satisfied with where we are, always striving to do better, because we are always wanting to increase and abound in the work of the Lord. Now, there are probably some other roles in the assembly that need to be filled, and these just kind of help you to see that it's not just the major ones that we see up front and that we place a lot of importance on. There's a lot of other things that go on in the background that play a very important part. And oftentimes those things get left to the same individuals over and over. And it's a role, many of those are roles that can be filled by many people. And to lighten the load and to encourage one another in these things. But as we continue looking at the roles that are needed to be filled in the work of the local church, we find there are more roles to be filled in the work of edification. Edification is an area of service in the body of Christ. Edification, or the building up of the body of Christ, I believe, should be the primary focus of the church. When you look at the organization of the church and how God brought these things to be, if you look in Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 11, he says, he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. Note verse 12. The reason for these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The purpose of this organization is to edify, to build up the members of the local church, and that we can, as we see in verse 16 of Ephesians 4, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. You see, the purpose in edification is to work in such a way that each member is fulfilling their part. They're playing their role. We sing the song, "There's room in the kingdom of God, my brother, for the small things that you can do." And we need to be looking for not only those small things, but seeking to increase and to grow in these things. And much of our edification takes place in the area of our assemblies, in our public worship. But there's other avenues as well. We have congregational Bible studies where we divide up on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening, and we have classes for various ages. And at times, there's an opportunity for home Bible studies, and then we have the weekly bulletin. And as we do these things, there's a need for someone to play a part in facilitating and making sure that all of these things go as well as they can. As part of the congregation's teaching curriculum, if you're going to have a class, you need to have a teacher. There needs to be a teacher for the auditorium class, the adult classes. There needs to be teachers for the young adults and for the smaller children. And at times there might be a need for special classes, whether it's a class for the ladies and there's a need for a teacher there, and a class for the men, there's need for a teacher there. And all of these can't be taught by the same person, because some of these classes take place at the same time. And so there's a need for each and every one of us, as we have an ability, to increase in that ability and to strive to fill the role that's needed in the various teaching programs that are a part of the local church. There's also, in the producing of the bulletin, the need for acquiring materials and providing and everything with making sure that it's getting printed. But I'll tell you, as someone who's been doing the bulletin for 20 years, the best way to help out in the weekly presentation of the bulletin, read it. Take it home. Throw it away when you get home. That's fine. But let the guy know who's doing the bulletin, you know, it's appreciated. That it's something that's there. And these are all some works that can be done. And so whether it's helping out and producing the bulletin providing paper or taking over for someone when they're on vacation, all of these things are things that are helpful and roles and works that can be done. When it comes to hosting home Bible studies, sometimes there might be a need, depending on the class, for the children to be watched by someone else. And so maybe you don't feel comfortable hosting or teaching a class, but you're willing to take and watch the children of those who are hosting or teaching the class. And therefore, you're filling your role and helping out in this work that's being done. And let me tell you, as someone who's had children and has taught classes and had to leave the children at home alone at times, it's very appreciated when people are willing to watch your children so that you can go about and do a work that needs to be done. And I would be remiss in the work of I've got the wrong word up there. I apologize. That's what happens. We'll go on to the next one, if it'll cooperate. Y'all have to bear with me. Electronics have not been my friend pretty much all weekend long. At all. Don't get me started on the bulletin this week for sure, because paper and copier and electronics were not working with me on that. But in the work of edification, you have the work of the elders and the deacons. The elders play an important part in the work of the local church. And the elders, also known as bishops and pastors, as we look in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus, he says for them to be on guard for themselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. As we look at these things, we can see the importance of the elders in watching over and caring for the feeding of the members of the local church. Peter writes of this in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verses 1 and 2, where he talks about shepherding the flock of God among you. And so there's a need for us to strive to grow in such a way that we can be beneficial in fulfilling the role of elders. This congregation doesn't have elders. And it's something we should always strive to be working towards and encouraging those who perhaps desire the office of an elder. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says, if any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. And so this is something that we should be encouraging our young men and our young women, because you can't be a proper elder if you don't have a proper elder's wife. And so there's the need for us to encourage both aspects in raising them up so that they will seek to be elders, which are very beneficial in the work of edification in the local church. And then, of course, deacons play a very important role in so many aspects of the work of the local church, and it's something that needs to be fulfilled as well. And as before, these are roles in edification, but again, we all have a role to play, and we have that role in participation. Even if you aren't qualified, you don't feel qualified to teach, let me tell you something, that someone who's been teaching Bible classes for, we've been married 23 years, 24 years now, participate. Prepare yourself. You have a very important role in studying the lesson beforehand and bringing something to the class to encourage the teacher. You see, we look at these major roles and we fail to realize the important role of the participant.
of someone who's not just sitting there listening, but is actively participating in the singing, in the praying, in with the preaching, and then also in the Bible classes. And when it comes to having elders and deacons, those who are willing to work with the elders and deacons, and to, as Paul speaks of the elders, not make their job more difficult than it ought to be. And that's a part that we all can play. Now, going back a step, we go on and look at the work of evangelism. Evangelism is an area of service in the body of Christ, and it's the sharing of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find this given to us by Jesus, this responsibility to go out and to preach the gospel. In Matthew chapter 28, there in verse 18, Jesus speaking to the apostles, he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You see, one of the important aspects of edification is that each of the members are growing to such a point that they can preach the gospel in some way to others. They can take part in the role of evangelism. And this is a very important function of the body of Christ. We are, as Peter writes in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation of people for God's own possession, so that we can do what? Sit back and go, look at us. We're Christians. We're a holy nation. We're a royal priesthood. He says, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You see, we've been made this wonderful thing. We're part of the family of God. And instead of just going, "Hey, I'm a part of the family of God," the idea there is that we've been brought out of darkness into light, and we proclaim the excellencies of God to the world. We're evangelists. And this is a work that can be done by individuals and should be done by each and every one of us. And it's a work that can be supported by the local church. If you look in the book of Philippians, we find the Apostle Paul repeatedly speaking of their participation in the gospel, in his preaching. In Philippians chapter 1, there in verse 3, he says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now." Later in chapter 4, he speaks of what this participation was. He says in chapter 4 and verse 15, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs." Now that's interesting, because Paul was not in Thessalonica for a very long time. He kind of got run out of town pretty quickly. But the church in Philippi that he had just left behind was sending and providing for him in the preaching and teaching of the gospel. And he expressed his appreciation. So they might not be preaching and teaching the gospel themselves, but they were helping to support those who were willing to go and to do. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said, "I robbed other churches by taking wages from them so that I could serve you." He talked about the congregations in Macedonia, primarily the church in Philippi, that helped out, fully supplied his need. And so when you look at some of the sample roles in the area of evangelism, there's a number of things that can be done. It's not just going out and preaching and teaching the Word of God. But when we have visitors, there's nothing that is better than receiving a letter or a card from someone besides the preacher or the elders of a local congregation. To let them know, "Hey, we appreciate you being here and sending cards to those that are sick, calling and setting up an opportunity for a follow-up visit with those who are visiting, mailing or handing out tracts and cards and flyers." Those pieces of paper back there are not there just to be something pretty on the wall, but they're opportunities for evangelism, to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they fit perfectly in an envelope. You can just write an address on there and mail it to whomever. And lo and behold, you've done a part in sowing the seed of the Word of God. We also have correspondence courses that are available. And these are courses where you can just hand them the course and say, here, take a look at this, read it, study it, answer the questions, and let me know what you think about afterwards. And then after they do that, you can participate, or others can participate, in grading these Bible correspondence courses. And it, if you get enough respondents, this can become really more than the work that one man or woman who is already doing a number of other things can keep up with. And so there's a need for multiple individuals to help with that. Setting up home Bible studies. Maybe you don't feel comfortable teaching, but you have contact with someone and you can set up an opportunity for someone who does feel comfortable teaching to come and to teach and to facilitate with that. Assisting with baptisms when lovingly, I appreciate this very much, that they happen in all hours of the night, and there are others who are willing to come out and be there and to help out in these things instead of leaving it all up to a few individuals. You may be willing to travel to other parts of the country and this world to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may not be able to do that, but you can support those who are willing to do it. I remember when we traveled to Mariupol, finding support for travel overseas. First and foremost, to get out of the United States, you're looking at a couple of $1,000s just in the plane tickets, depending on where you're going. And there's usually, because you're using so much money, you want to be there for a while. And so there's the need for lodging while you're there. And then you're going to be eating and everything. And while things are generally cheaper there, it's still an expense along with the regular expenses that you have at home. And so if you're not willing to go, supporting those who are willing to go is a very important role that needs to be played. There are so many opportunities for service in the area of evangelism and in the area of edification, regardless of where we are in our development, in our abilities. There's so many things that can be done. The last one that we want to look at is that of the role of the work in benevolence. When you look at the work of benevolence, it's another area of service within the body of Christ. And the early church was noted for their love and concern for one another, to support them in times of great need. In Acts chapter 2, we find in the very beginnings of the church, in verses 44 and 45, that they are all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Now, understand, again, this was not an equal distribution of the financial abilities of the members of the church. Those who had property and possessions sold what they could sell and helped provide for those as anyone might have need. If you look further in Acts chapter 4, we find there in verse 32 that the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of that sale, of the sales, and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. As you look further in Acts chapter 6, we see that there was a daily distribution of food for the widows. They were making sure that the widows were being provided for and doing this on a regular basis. And when congregations heard that other areas were going to be in need, they did what they could to provide for that. In Acts chapter 11, we find where there are prophets who came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and after they'd been there for a while, one of them stood up and began to indicate by the Holy Spirit that there was going to become a great famine all over the world. And the brethren in Antioch decided, well, we're going to send a contribution for the relief of the brethren living in Judea. We're going to do what we can to help provide for them. You see, Antioch is a seaport and perhaps would not have suffered as bad as somewhere that's further removed from the sea, like Jerusalem. So they wanted to do what they can, and they sent it to help the congregation there. We find the Apostle Paul in multiples of his letters writing of the collection for the needy saints in Jerusalem and encouraging the brethren to do what they can. In Romans chapter 15, there in verse 25, as he's writing to the Christians in Rome, he says, I'm going to Jerusalem serving the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Now, this would be Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, these congregations, Berea, And they were all participating in this work. And that required that each and every individual member, as Paul instructs in 1 Corinthians 16, lay by in store. And all of these things were being brought together, everyone playing their part, so that they could help out those that were their needy brethren. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth and encouraging them to hopefully have already been working on this and to consider the promises that they had made, he says in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 8, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord." And I have seen this in the church today. When tragedy has struck various areas where people have gone above and beyond what they would normally be able to do to provide for those who are in need. When hurricanes have struck, tornadoes, various other things, there's that work of benevolence. And as a function of the local church, we find that this area of benevolence is limited in its scope. We find in the New Testament, churches only took the responsibility of caring for those who were needy saints. Always we find the collection was a collection made of the saints for those that were in need. But while there are limitations placed upon the local church and how it can go about the work of benevolence, there are virtually no limitations provided on us as individuals. And while as a local church we have responsibility, we all have responsibility to help in the work of that local church in benevolence, we have a responsibility to be benevolent to everyone. In Galatians chapter 6, there in verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people and especially those who are of the household of faith." Again, I'm not limited in who I can do good towards. In fact, I'm to do good to all, whether they're friend or enemy. I'm to show the love and compassion of God. James writes in James chapter 1 and verse 27 that pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. We have a responsibility to care for those who are in need. And there's a beautiful illustration of the work that can be done by people of varying talents in this work of benevolence. If you look over in Acts chapter 9, there in verse 36. In Acts chapter 9, there in verse 36, we read that in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us." So Peter arose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room. And all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with him. You see, this woman had an ability in making clothes, and she used that ability in the service of others. And it was something that was there even after her death. They were still remarking. And of course, we can see where Peter raises her from the dead, and I can't believe that she didn't go on in doing the great works of service that she had done. And she didn't do it for glory or for honor. She did it to help those that are in need. And so when we look at the work of benevolence, there's many things that we can do. First and foremost, in the collection of the local church, there's the need. It's not just for the preaching and teaching of the gospel. It's for the area of benevolence. That we may not have a need for benevolence at this time. But wouldn't it be great to, when that need arises, to have the funds available to help out in those times of need? And that is a role that each and every one of us can play in giving on the first day of the week as we have prospered and to do what we can to help support the work of evangelism, the work of edification, and the work of benevolence. But then there's that individual aspect of watching over those who are sick, those who are in need. When someone's sick, we can go and visit them in the hospital. We can go and visit them at their homes. We can visit them, and care for those who might be confined to their homes. We can call them and check on them on a regular basis. We can offer to help in providing transportation to doctors and pharmacies or even to the store. When we find that there are those in need, how many of us here don't have an excess of clothes. I mean, I have enough clothes to provide for several. And I've gone through and at times and probably need to do it again because some of them don't fit because I like to eat. Go and provide these things for others. And we can prepare clothes. We can prepare food. We can provide emergency shelter. We can provide emergency child care. When parents are dealing with various difficulties, one of the greatest blessings is to take their kids in and watch their kids so they can deal with a tragedy and those kids can... they can know that their children are being well taken care of. Providing transportation to services and to stores. Providing meals for those that are sick or those who are bereaved at the loss of family members. For those that are new mothers. I've seen this in a couple places where a congregation would come together and each of the ladies cooked meals for a week. And so the woman who just gave birth to a child, there was no need for anyone in that house to do anything other than warming up meals that had been provided for them. And just think of the expense of those meals and the money that's saved in a time when you're spending a lot of money on that new child. And then also, not only is the mother worn out, but the father can be worn out too with caring and providing. And so it's a great blessing. And there's many, many more things that we could talk about. The point of this lesson is for you to understand, it's not just a few roles that are played in the local church. But even those roles have a number of support roles that need to be played by more than one or two people. So that we're not working that workhorse to death. Helping. Encouraging. Doing what we can do. There's, as we sing, room in the kingdom of God, my brother, for the small things that you can do. We need to be aware of the many different ways that we can serve in the work of the local church. And again, even if we don't have any kind of an ability in a leading capacity or in a financial capacity, let me tell you, there's a very important role. I want to remind you the very important role of being an active participant. Encouraging by participating. Helping out by being present. And may none of us seek to bury our talents or our abilities. Matthew chapter 25, in verse 25, we see in the parable of the talents that the one who had received one, he says, I was afraid and I went away and I hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. And the response to that individual was not pleasant. You wicked, slothful servant. Take what has been given to him and give it to the one who had 10 and cast him out. Yesterday was Anna and I's our anniversary, and I was just kind of going through some various pictures, and I saw a picture, and it would kind of come to mind because the name had come up in talking with Julie and some others, Larry Fain. And Larry Fain has a lot of issues. There's a lot of things that happened after I met him, but he saw in me an ability, and he encouraged me to work in that ability. I wish that I could say I had increased way more than I have. But he played a part in helping me to not only see my abilities, but to increase, to not hide that talent. And I was hiding it. People asked me, when are you going to start preaching? Dan was preaching. Jeff was preaching. My dad was a preacher. When are you going to start? I'm not going to preach. And lo and behold, 23 years later, I've been preaching for 23 years. We need to make sure that whatever our talent might be, and it doesn't have to be some talent that's out in front of everyone, there are so many important roles that need to be played. And if we have an ability, we have a responsibility to use that ability to the fullest of our power, to increase, to grow, and to abound, whether it's in leading in the services or helping to make sure that everything is running smoothly behind the scenes. There's room in the kingdom of God for the small, for any work that you can do. And in God's eyes, there's no such thing as a small work or a large work. Any work that's being done in His kingdom is a work that He is well pleased in if it's done from the heart and with a desire to serve the Lord. If we're doing it to the fullest of our ability. We always offer the invitation at the close of services. And this lesson has been primarily focused on those who are members of the church.
But we want to offer the invitation to those of you who have not obeyed the gospel, who perhaps recognize that in your life you've reached a point in time where you understand God's will, you understand God's expectations of you, and you understand that you have fallen short of God's expectations. That you have chosen through your free will to do things that you know God despises. If so, then sin has entered into your life. And if that sin remains, eternal punishment awaits. But as we saw in our reading, God is not wanting anyone to perish. He desires that people have the opportunity to seek forgiveness of their sins. And he's provided a way of salvation through the death of his Son upon the cross. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of the sins that you've committed and to confess that faith in Christ, then I encourage you to surrender your life to God in humble obedience, to become a priest of God, to become a part of that royal family, royal priesthood. Surrender yourself in baptism. Become a child of God and begin to seek out and to make use of the abilities that you have. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then you just sat there. You had an ability, you had a talent, and you put it in a handkerchief and you buried it in the ground. Remember, God was not pleased with that individual. If you have an ability, whatever it might be, make sure that you're using it. And if you've been hiding it in the ground, ask God for forgiveness before time is gone. And seek to be a better servant of God. Again, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? There's so many roles that need to be played in the workings of the local church. And we all need to be making sure that we're playing our part. The invitation is offered to you this morning as we stand.